and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
The time is 5 o'clock. I'm Rory Williams with the main evening news on Highland Radio. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council urge vigilance as Condition Orange fire warning remains in place. It comes as Gardaí launch a full investigation into devastating gorse fires in West Donegal over the weekend. The PSNI are questioning a 57-year-old woman in connection with Lyra McKee's murder on Thursday night last. And the Education Minister says he can't commit to a timeline to end pay inequality for teachers. Joe McHugh was speaking earlier at the INTO conference in Galway. Those stories and more to follow, plus we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at around 15:15. Good evening. Donegal County Council is urging extreme vigilance as a Condition Orange fire warning remains in place until at least tomorrow. The council says the extensive wildfire in West Donegal in the areas of Annagree, Belcritch, Lochinure and Kincashla concluded late last night and into the early hours of this morning. There were also other fires in recent days in West Donegal as well as in the Milford area. Greg Hughes reports.
Donegal County Council says 13 fire brigade units totalling 16 appliances and a further 12 support vehicles responded to the event and were assisted by an auxiliary fire service from Donegal Civil Defence. The Donegal County Council Fire Service was supported by the Irish Coast Guard on Garda Síochána. The Irish Defence Forces, comprising of an Air Corps helicopter with firefighting capabilities and a platoon of infantry from Finnair Camp, and was further aided by a fire appliance water carrier from Donegal Airport. Crucially, the responding agencies were hugely assisted by the community's response in the area during the day, where hundreds of local volunteers assisted both directly and indirectly. Donegal County Council says they'd like to thank and acknowledge the cooperation and collaboration of the responding agencies and the local communities and volunteers during the wildfire. A Condition Orange high fire risk notice remains effective up until tomorrow, with the council urging landowners and members of the public to exercise caution and to take all necessary measures to prevent the occurrence of wildfires involving materials such as gorse, heather and other dry and dead vegetation. Householders or building owners in areas susceptible to wildfire are advised to remove or cut back any vegetation in the immediate vicinity of their house, building or oil tank to prevent wildfires damaging or destroying their property.
Meanwhile, a full Garda investigation is underway into the cause of yesterday's gorse fires. The fires resulted in widespread devastation, including damage to two homes, a number of vehicles and a vast amount of land. Gardaí in Milford are appealing to anyone who was in the Lochinure or Mean Mara area in the early hours of yesterday morning and who may have witnessed any suspicious activity to contact them. Garda Charlene Anderson says they are keen to get to the bottom of what happened.
There is a full active Garda investigation at the moment. And we would be appealing to people that if they have any information in relation to the fires or indeed how they started, that they would contact us at Milford Garda Station. We're also appealing for anyone who was in the Lochinure or Mean Mara area Sunday night into the early hours of Monday morning and may have noticed anything, or again, if they are aware of any circumstances surrounding the fires or anything that may have attributed to these fires, we'd be urging them to contact us and speak with us.
Meanwhile, the Irish Air Corps press officer says it takes time to respond to requests for assistance in the case of gorse and forest fires, saying the Corps does not have a primary function in terms of fighting fires. As a result, Captain Kevin Fitzgerald says it takes time to mobilise and put a plan in place to ensure safe operations. Local politicians claim it took 7 hours for the Air Corps to mobilise yesterday, with Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher seeking a full report and assessment of the processes and protocols involved. On today's 9 till noon show, Captain Fitzgerald outlined the process which was followed when the request for assistance came in yesterday morning.
We don't have a dedicated fire fighting helicopter service. It isn't the primary tasking for the Air Corps. So what we do have, we have a dedicated aircraft in Athlone. The Emergency Air Medical Service aircraft is in Athlone all year round. We also have a 24/7 security aircraft, the Garda Air Support Unit. We also provide that. They are our dedicated rosters. Things that come in extraneous to that, we'd have to mobilise the crew set before. So that's what we did. When the task came in, we started mobilising the crew, and we had three technicians and three crew, two pilots and a crewman to come in, you know, from all around the country. When they did come in at that stage, they obviously have to prepare the aircraft. The technicians have to get it ready. The crewman has to get the kit ready. The pilots need to prepare. prior to weather, and then all the crew will brief together because it's quite a relatively high-risk mission to fight a fire from the air. So it's fairly involved. It isn't something that we can launch immediately, especially when we don't have the dedicated roster for it.
Once on scene, then, what is the procedure? How can the helicopter assist from the air?
So the procedure is, when we arrive on scene, the helicopter essentially has a bucket that hangs on the end of a long strap outside the helicopter. We'll go into a local water source, like the lake itself or any water source. And we've used the sea in the past as well. Quite a tricky little handling, but you come down below walking pace over the water and you fill the bucket. Once you've done that, you fly away and you go out to the centre of the fire. Sometimes you'll have a member of the fire crew on the ground will come in the air with you to direct you or help. The pilots will fly low and will fly into the centre of the fire, and the crewman in the back has his head out looking over the water bucket, and he'll give a countdown to the exact specific time to release the valve. Once he gives that, we press a button in the front. It releases a valve, and 1,200 litres of water and a targeted stream get released down into the area.
In other news, the PSNI are questioning a 57-year-old woman in connection with Lyra McKee's murder in Derry on Thursday night last. She was arrested under the Terrorism Act and is being held at the Serious Crime Suite in Musgrave Police Station. Lyra was fatally injured while covering riots in the Fanna Drive area of Derry's Craigan Estate. The new IRA says it was behind the killing and has offered its full and sincere apologies to Lyra's partner, friends and family. The group says it had been aiming to target police and has told its volunteers to be more careful in the future. But Lyra's friend Tina Calder says the apology just doesn't cut it.
What measures can you possibly put in place that stop people getting hurt, maimed and killed? And how do they expect their volunteers to take the utmost care if they're going to be rioting and taking up weapons? It's an oxymoron in itself.
These locals in Derry say it's worrying times.
I think it's just going to be something similar to the troubles happening again, and it's not going to be a good thing either, though.
No, a lot of people are going to get hurt again, and it's just going to history repeating itself. Like, it's not going to end well, I don't think.
Ashamed, shocking. It's awful. I think, you know, community at large feel the same way.
It's very worrying. They bring the police in and that brings the rioters out. It's a vicious circle. It goes on and on and on and on.
A Fine Gael councillor says he understands that the government currently plan on billing homeowners 14% of the cost of repairing their homes built with faulty mica blocks. Councillor Mickey Doherty says this is unacceptable and has again threatened to leave the party if homeowners are charged over 5%. There are still no firm details on the scheme, which was announced in last year's budget. Councillor Doherty says most people can't afford to contribute to the scheme.
Taking this very, very serious, big. And I had to make a stance on it because, like I said before, I've been there from the beginning, okay. When they tear them out of council, I may not have been as active. But since I came back in, as the group know, I've been very active. And I intend to see it through. Maybe stepping down is not the right thing, but I've made my demands and I'm going to stand over that.
The HSE spending on private ambulances has increased by 50% in the last 5 years. Over €9 million was spent on private operators in 2018, which help transfer patients in rural areas. Letterkenny University Hospital had the biggest bill, spending over €1 million. The figures were provided to Sinn Féin TD Louise O'Reilly in response to a parliamentary question. She says it's not clear if the HSE is getting value for money.
The reliance on private ambulance is actually increasing, and it also proves that there is a demand there. So if there is a demand there and that demand is growing and the reliance on private ambulance is growing, what we should see is a consequent investment in the public ambulance service. We don't know if outsourcing represents good or bad value for money. It's the job of the private ambulance company to make a profit. So they're making a profit at the expense of the taxpayer, but the HSE, under the direction of the government, haven't actually conducted a value for money audit.
Concern has been raised once again over parking problems at Larkins Lane in Letterkenny. Donegal County Council has stated that enforcements have been initiated and motorist parking on double yellow lines is no longer an issue. However, it's thought a pay and display system installed there would eradicate problems entirely. Local councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says despite the measures taken, issues remain and they're affecting local business. He believes more can be done.
The ongoing issue has been people parking there all day long, and businesses have been saying to me that their clients can't get access to their business because people are using it for long-term parking. And I think the best solution is probably just to pay and display there. We've discussed it before. It was suggested that there would be pay and display, but there seems to be some confusion about that now, and they're basically telling us that we need another motion to do that, and if that's what's needed, maybe we'll do that next month. But I think there seems to be a consensus in the room today that that is the way to go.
Now, it has come to the fore numerous times before, and they have, the council, initiated, I suppose, enforcements there to tackle people parking on double yellow lines, but do you believe that doesn't really go far enough?
Well, what's coming to me, Catherine, is that it's still being raised. The council are saying they're enforcing that more now and that's working, but people are still coming to me and telling me that Larkin's Lane is a problem, so I'm taking them at their word that the enforcement isn't strong enough, isn't working well enough. So I think we have the option there of using pay and display, so why not try that if that's what's needed.
It's just 11 minutes past 5. We'll take a quick break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
The time is 13 minutes past 5. We cross to Kenny Harkin at the sports desk.
Thanks, Rory. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and tributes have been paid from across the sport for the former Celtic captain and manager Billy McNeil, who has passed away aged 79. The man nicknamed Caesar lifted the European Cup in 1967 when Celtic became the first British side to win the competition. McNeil captained the Hoops to 9 successive titles and led them to 4 Scottish League titles across 2 spells in charge. So sad news there for Celtic today. Elsewhere in the soccer world, Kevin De Bruyne has been ruled out of tomorrow's Manchester derby. The Manchester City midfielder sustained a muscular injury in Saturday's Premier League win over Tottenham. And on the pitch tonight, the meeting of Tottenham and Brighton takes centre stage in the Premier League. A Spurs win will give them a 4-point cushion in the race to secure Champions League football. Brighton, they need a win to ease their relegation worries. Elsewhere tonight, Southampton can edge closer to safety with a one away to Watford. Here at home, Shamrock Rovers will attempt to establish a 10-point lead at the top of the SSE Electricity League Premier Division this evening. The Hoops would do so with a win over the Rifles Bohemians in the 8 o'clock kickoff at the Tallaght Stadium. Bows have won 5 of the last 6 meetings of the teams in the league. Meanwhile, the Irish Soccer Referees Society say referees can't be taken for granted anymore. It's after a ref was allegedly assaulted during a match between the Bally United and Gorey Celtic on Sunday morning. President Paul O'Brien says it's the 18th incident he's become aware of since November.
Last November was supposed to be a game changer. Since then, we've had 18 assaults. I'm not here to announce a national strike, but I am here to say that if the leagues, the clubs and the players do not basically cop on, there are going to be no referees, and I will certainly not be sanctioning any of my members for withdrawing their services over safety fears.
Former Institute and Derry City player John Quigg will be taking on his first role in senior management in football when he takes the helm at Institute, and it could very well be in the dugout for their last home game of the season tonight against Newry City. Quigg left his role as Derry City's youth coach last month and will take over from interim manager Kevin Doherty, who took control after Paddy McLaughlin left to manage Cliftonville earlier this year. He steps into the role knowing that his side will be playing in the top tier next season, as Institute have secured their Premiership status for next season. Tonight's game against Newry City kicks off at 7:45 in the Brandywell. Elsewhere in the Premiership this evening, champions Linfield, they host Cliftonville. Cole Rain there at home against Crusaders. Ards faced on Gannon Swifts. Warren Point Town, they travel to Glentoran, and Glenavon make the trip to Ballymena United. All of those games kick off at 7:45. On to snooker, and Ronnie O'Sullivan says feeling under the weather led to a shock first round exit at the World Championships. The 5-time Crucible champion and current world number one was beaten 10 frames to 8 by the amateur James Cahill. O'Sullivan says he physically didn't feel anything close to his best.
I just felt a little bit under the weather, you know. I feel like my legs are like lead and my arms feel really heavy. I'm not making no excuses. I just felt absolutely exhausted, to be honest with you. And I just tried to do as much as I could, you know. I just tried to hang in there and see if I could manage to somehow get through the match. And a few days off might have felt a bit better. So it wasn't meant to be.
Currently, Dave Gilbert, he's 8-7 up on Joe Perry, and former finalist Judd Trump, he trails Tepcha Unau by 4-3. Later, the 2015 champion Stuart Bingham, he resumes 8-1 up on Graham Dott, while Antrim's Mark Allen gets his first round match with Zhu Zilong underway later on. In Gaelic Games, the Naoimh Colum Kill GAA Club have had all adult members banned for 8 weeks after the club hosted an unauthorised tournament in February. The Donegal Competition Controls Committee were informed of a tournament that took place at Park Colum Kill, and following a meeting with the club last week, the club and the Donegal County Board were informed that all Naoimh Colum Kill adult members were to be suspended for 8 weeks, with the club's senior matches in that period to be forfeited. And the club have appealed the decision taken by the Donegal Competition Controls Committee. The tournament itself was organised by a fundraising committee in the local area and not by the Naoimh Colum Kill Club themselves. Moving on to rugby, and Sean Cronin's a doubt for Leinster's Heineken Champions Cup final meeting with Saracens next month. The hooker sustained a calf injury during Sunday's semi-final win over Toulouse and was sent for a scan, with scrum coach John Fogarty admitting Cronin is a concern. Cronin will definitely miss Saturday's Pro 14 meeting with Ulster, while Adam Byrne is out for the rest of the season. The winger picked up a quad injury during the recent loss to Glasgow. And Joey Carberry and Keith Ayres are both expected to sit out Munster's Guinness Pro 14 derby against Connacht on Saturday. Ayres is recovering from a thigh injury, while Carberry's been out with a hamstring issue, and head coach Johan van Graan says he won't risk either player unless they're fully fit. In boxing, the National Schoolboy Championships got underway today in the National Stadium in Dublin. The event started this morning at 10 o'clock. There's plenty of Donegal representation, with Dunfanaghy duo Luke Kelly and Anthony Doohan, Aaron McDade from Rafoe, Rory McDade, Ali's Golden Gloves, Thomas Brown, Convoy, Matthew Carlin, Dunree, Oisin Doherty, Cairn Donna, Kelvin McDade, Clonmany, and Letterkenny's Sean McConaughey and Shea Collum. So good luck to them all. There was one fighter in action already, it was Luke Kelly. Unfortunately, Luke was defeated today by Lee Brennan of St Mary's. Finally, for this evening, just a notice that volunteers and marshals, they're urgently required for the Northwest 10K, which takes place on Sunday, the 5th of May in Letterkenny. There's a volunteer marshals meeting taking place tonight in the Mount Errigal Hotel. So everyone's asked to please come along to be part of an event that's supporting three worthy charities. For further information regarding volunteering and marshalling, you can contact Head Steward Neely McDade on 087 418 0625. That's 087 418 0625. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Rory.
Thanks, Kenny. Back to some news now. The Education Minister says he can't commit to a timeline to end pay inequality for teachers. The announcement that the government will initiate a pay review process for a cohort of teachers has been cautiously welcomed. Those who entered the profession between 2011 and 2014 are paid less than their colleagues. Minister Joe McHugh told primary school teachers at the INTO conference in Galway this morning that the issue of pay is unfinished business. However, he made no promises that pay equality would be achieved.
I have no way of predetermining what the outcome will be, but I think it's about committing to the fact that this is a difficulty. I've said all along, this is unfinished business. I mean that. I'm hearing the calls and cries from the younger teachers.
And the incoming General Secretary of the INTO is confident the issue of pay inequality can be resolved. Donegal native John Boyle says he hopes to negotiate a resolution as part of the next public sector pay deal.
So all of the union movement and the department are all on one voice that there is outstanding business. We are now going to get a process to deal with the business. And we are confident, since they say that they're going to work towards resolution, that I, as the new General Secretary, will be able to negotiate that resolution in the next public service pay deal. We expect those talks to begin early next year.
Two men who were arrested by Gardaí in Letterkenny as part of an investigation into a Romanian organised crime gang have been refused bail. The two detained are due to appear before the courts again at a later date. A third man who had also been arrested has been released pending a file to the DPP. All three are Romanian nationals. Officers raided a house in the town last week and found a number of items relating to suspected fraud in Northern Ireland. They include cloned credit cards, stolen passports, fake IDs and two cars bought using bank accounts opened with false names. Garda Sean Sweeney has been giving this update.
Most of these documentation was received related to suspected fraud activity in other jurisdictions. So as a result, three Romanian nationals were arrested and detained. Two were charged and brought before the courts where they refused bail, and they're going to appear before the courts again at a later date. And the third was released pending a file. Anything to do with your own personal bank details, credit cards, anything suspicious, you know, report it to your bank straight away and call the Gardaí.
An Inishowen councillor is seeking clarification from Irish Water after he was told that there is an EPA-approved wastewater treatment plant in Greencastle. Councillor Albert Doherty had raised a number of questions about the Moville-Greencastle sewage scheme, including queries about the extent and location of the pipes and the relevance of Crown Estates. He says these questions weren't answered at all and questioned the validity of the Greencastle information. Councillor Doherty says when he made local inquiries in Greencastle, The only facility he and local people could identify was what he described as a significant septic tank. He says communication protocols must be improved.
What was alarming for me was the statement that Greencastle, as far as Irish Water was concerned, that it already has a wastewater treatment plant. That was news to me. The locals that assisted me, we went and we identified a significant septic tank. Yes, there would be an outflow pipe, but the evidence I would have and the evidence from the locals is that in that flow from the outflow pipe into the foil, it is not water that has been treated.
So you believe the person that responded to you from Irish Water, who we must presume did so in good faith, they did so with information that can be best described as incomplete and possibly inaccurate?
Definitely, I believe there's good faith. Definitely, they have personnel who respond, but they didn't answer the questions posed. And I followed up, Donal, with two other items. I wanted to know who was, in their words, the relevant department who had advised, and where was the location of the treatment plant. That remains to be answered. Irish Water and their present situation of meeting us on the morning of our meetings in the plenary session is not adequate, and likewise, they were to bring another meeting in relation to Moville to the fore here early in the year, and we're moving now into April, May, and that meeting is still not forthcoming. Irish Water need to get the finger out.
And for weather now, dry for the rest of today with sunny spells and hazy sunshine in moderate easterly breezes. Your main stories again. Donegal County Council urge vigilance as Condition Orange fire warning remains in place. It comes as Gardaí launch a full investigation into devastating gorse fires in West Donegal over the weekend. The PSNI are questioning a 57-year-old woman in connection with Lira McKee's murder on Thursday night last. And the Education Minister says he can't commit to a timeline to end pay inequality for teachers. Joe McHugh was speaking earlier at the INTO conference in Galway. That's all for now from the Highland Radio News Desk. I'm back with more news again in an hour. Until then, a very good evening to you. The obituary notices for Tuesday evening, the 23rd of April. The death has occurred of Kenneth Moore, Umricum Ballyheernan, Fanid. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later, house strictly private. The death has taken place of Roberta Sims, Portlean, Kilmacrenan. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service in Letcher Presbyterian Church on Thursday at 1 p.m. with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Oncology Day Services, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Edward Gallagher, Mill Farm, Donnyloop. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Columba's Church, Donnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The house is private pleas at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Helen Flynn Mackey, Middlesbrough, England, and formerly Letterkenny. Helen's remains will be received to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, tomorrow at 5 p.m, reposing overnight for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. on Thursday, to which all family and friends are welcome. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwall Cemetery. The death has occurred last September in Bristol, England, of Ivan Leeper, formerly of Mina Horna, Welshtown, Ballybuffet. Burial of his ashes will take place on Friday evening at 6 p.m. in Stranorler Graveyard. The death has taken place of Charlie Gallagher, Doonwell, Doon, Terman. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Columba's Church, Terman, at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Judy O'Donnell, the Cottages, Drumkeen. Remains reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow at 10:30 for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St. Patrick's Church, Drumkeen. Burial afterwards in Convoy Old Cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of flowers to St. Eunan's Nursing Home, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Kathleen Cowan, formerly of Lisfannan, Burt and Maybrook Park, Derry. Funeral leaving her son's home, 172 Lincoln Courts, Waterside, tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for service in Ballyarnet Church at 2 p.m. Burial afterwards in Altnagelvin Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to the Alzheimer's Society, Seven Oaks, Waterside, Londonderry, BT476AL. The death has taken place of Sally Kearney, née Coyle, 4 O'Nolan Park, Strabane, and formerly of Falcarra. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Stephen Maxwell, 20 Town Parks, Derry Road, Strabane, and formerly of Mount Sion, Strabane. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.